It was the fall of 1990 BC, before I knew Christ. I was a young single lawyer living on the 15th floor of a high-rise apartment in Miami Beach. The firm at which I worked was just over the bridge in downtown Miami. Made it pretty convenient, a short 20-minute drive away, which was a good thing, too, because I was working 14 to 16-hour days, and it's nice to get home quickly every once in a while. As for my non-work activities, I didn't have any. I wasn't dating anyone, not for lack of a desire, mind you, but really because, one, I was horrible at dating, and two, I was so overwhelmed at work that I didn't have much free time to do anything about it. All I did was work. And I think I've told you guys before, I really hated the place I worked for. And the people I had to answer to, I wasn't fond of either. That sounds pretty glamorous, doesn't it? I mean, that's enough to motivate a young person to go to college and get a law degree. At the time, I had two dogs. I had two dachshunds. They were named Fenwick and Miles. Miles was short for Miles Long. I thought that was clever. I noticed that every time I walked the dogs, by the way, when you live in a 15th floor apartment, walking the dogs is a bit of a pain. But I would take the dogs downstairs and I'd head out the building and people were interested, like women were interested. And I thought, ooh, mental note. If I ever find time to go out with anybody, I'll parlay this little move into a dating attempt to see if I can get some traction. Incidentally, I did not. That never happened, thankfully, actually. Never put that plan into action, but there it was. But anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is because back then, every day seemed the same. Day after day, after day, after day, after day. And I was beginning to wonder, am I ever going to be like fulfilled in this life? Am I ever going to find fulfillment in my work? Will I ever have purpose in life? I can tell you at the time, it seemed like the answer to that question was a big fat no. And then, even though I didn't know him yet, it would be for another 3 years before I met him, but God stepped in at that moment, which is pretty astounding to know that he can step in if you don't even know who he is. But here's what happened. An old friend from high school called, hadn't seen him in almost a decade. He invited me to join him and some friends at this club just a few blocks from where I was living on the beach. It was a Friday night and it was late, so I thought, all right, work isn't getting in the way, and what the heck? Sure, yeah, I'll be there. Now, you need to know, I wasn't a club person. I wasn't a go-out person, so I certainly wasn't a club person. I had no expectations regarding the night. I had no motive regarding my going there other than to chat with my buddy. His name was John. So I arrived at the club about 11 o'clock at night. I met my buddy John. He introduced me to his two work friends. One of them was named Beth. Aw, right? She's now my wife, and we've been together for 30 years. But I can tell you this, in the blink of an eye, I went from surviving day to day to beginning a journey that would lead me to three major purposes that I would have for the rest of my life. A purpose as a spouse, a purpose as a father, and eventually a purpose as a follower of Jesus. Even though I didn't know God at the time, he knew me. And he led me to himself. And he gave me the ultimate purpose in life. Well, today we are continuing on in our sermon series called Renewed, Daily Practices for Optimal Living. Last week, and you can check it out if you want to see the video from last week, just go on YouTube or go to our website, go to our Facebook page, you can find the video for last week. We began a discussion of how God wants to renew us so that we can live the abundant life that he's given us so we can live it for him. And last week we talked about how God wants to renew our spirit first. Because we're more than just physical beings. We have a soul and we have a spirit, and that soul and spirit can become weary as a result of the circumstances that we face in life. So we, every so often, need to be spiritually renewed by God. And that begins with our seeking God's forgiveness, and we do that by repenting of our old ways, saying, God, I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to turn. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to turn toward Jesus. I know what he did for me on the cross. I want to commit my life to following him. And that's a spiritual renewal. When we commit our lives to Jesus, we are born anew. We're born again. But spiritual renewal isn't the only kind of renewal we need. There are many kinds of renewal. Sometimes in the mundane, we need to renew our driver's license. Sometimes if we want to travel anywhere, remember when we used to do that? We used to travel places? Yeah. We need to renew our passports. And sometimes we even like to renew our marriage vows. When something gets renewed, it gets new life. It's made useful once again. And because sometimes our lives cause us to feel stuck, to feel like life is happening to us rather than feeling like we're living the full life that Jesus offers, we could stand a good renewal ourselves. Now, renewal can make all the difference. If you live here in South Florida and you've lived here any amount of time, you probably relate to this. Every year on June 1, what happens? Hurricane season begins. So every year on June 1, I run around the house trying to gather up all the flashlights in order to make sure that they work in preparation for this inevitable blackout that's going to happen if a hurricane comes to town. Now, there is nothing more frustrating in this world than needing a flashlight in the middle of the night while a powerful storm, a frightening storm, an intense storm is raging all around, and then you find out that the batteries are dead. And you're going to have to sit in a dark house and feel your way across the walls, or even go in the bathroom if that's your safe room, or a closet to ride out the storm. So on June 1st, I'll typically run around the house. I'll look in all the places that the year before I thought this would be a really good place to hide the batteries. You ever do that? What was I thinking? Where did I stash those batteries? One of the most satisfying feelings in the world is when you're frantically looking around and you actually find batteries. You find a supply of batteries. You find something that can renew the thing that you're looking to renew. Probably should have pre-tore this one. Because that's important. That's important to make your light work, to renew your light. Okay, I can't peel this, so you can imagine that I've renewed it. Uh-oh. Here, let's see. Want to do this for me? Yeah? Who's got it? Elijah, you ready? Peel the plastic. All right, we're working on that. Well, many of us have felt that before. Many of us feel like our lives have run low on batteries, and now we need to freshen the power source. Well, that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like for you when your sense of purpose needs renewing. So with that, I want to welcome everybody to Hammock Street Church. Welcome to you all here on site. It's nice to see people are coming back. Our numbers are growing here on site. Also, thank you for joining us online as well. Come on up. Elijah, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if he... Oh, look at that. You got it. You're good. Look, we are good. Thank you, sir. You're a good man. Hurricane season is safe. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're a part of our community, now part of our virtual community as well. Why don't we pray, and then we'll get going in the message. God, thank you again for this morning. As we go through the scripture, as we go through the things that you've taught us, God, we ask that you would use it to change our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the statement for this morning. Without purpose in our lives, we run the risk of feeling exhausted by the same office cubicle or office, by the same daily routine, by the same barrage of negative news that we're exposed to day in and day out, by the sense that we just live out each day and have nothing to show for it. You know, for most, the past year, 2020, sucked the life right out of us. You thought I was going a different way, didn't you? It left us looking for something more. And that's no way to live. Whenever we feel like we're running low on batteries and need to be renewed, there's only one source that will suffice. We have to go back to the source of all life. We have to go back to God. Only God can give our lives meaning and purpose. The Apostle Paul addressed this issue in his letter to the believers in Ephesus when he said, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul called God's people, the followers of Jesus, God's workmanship. Some translations, if you're looking at a different translation, use the phrase God's handiwork. Now, it's interesting, the Greek word that we're translating here is the word poema, which means creation or that which is made. It's also where we get the English word poem. So we are God's handiwork. We're God's creation. We're God's poetry, if you will. God has dreamed us up. God is the author of our lives. God is where our purpose comes from. What does that mean? Well, let's start with this. God made you on purpose and for a purpose. Now, think about it this way. Whenever we create anything ourselves, we take great pride in that object. Would you agree with that? Here's an example for you. You guys have a picture like this hanging in your house anywhere? Most people do. If you have kids, you do. This one was created by our son, Quinn. It's still on display in our home. Quinn is 24 and lives in New York. Why do we still have his Godzilla on the wall? That's what it says down there, Godzilla, by the way. It is not a string bean with a pimento or anything like that. We have it on the wall because it reminds us of Quinn and how proud he was when he drew it. We actually have another one that was sitting by it, and our dog Chloe got a hold of it and kind of tore it in half. And we actually still have that, but it's now torn in half. It's kind of sad. But Quinn was so proud of that because he created it. There's a reason that the creation account in the book of Genesis speaks of God creating each day and then declaring what? What does he declare? It is good. God takes pride in his creation. God loves his creation. When God thinks about each and every one of us, he calls us good because we're his creation. And he made us on purpose for a purpose. Because God made us now, he has a right to give us our meaning for our lives. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminded us that we were created for the good works that God has prepared for us to take part in. So even though you might feel like you, at the moment, have no purpose in life, God wants to remind you of the desires he's always had for you. Now, maybe God wants to remind you today that even though thus far in your life you've existed only for yourself, even though maybe thus far in your life you've existed only to show up at work, to build your social media following, to eat, to breathe, to sleep, but God has a new and renewed and greater purpose for your life. Now, I want to tell you a story about the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, of course, as maybe you know, was the author of a great deal of the New Testament. And you can read Paul's story in the book of Acts. Acts gives us a perfect example of the way that God gives his people a renewed purpose. So here's a little bit of background on the Apostle Paul first. Paul was born into a devout Jewish family in Tarsus. Tarsus was a major city in the Roman Empire located on the Mediterranean coast of what is now known as the nation of Turkey. Even in Paul's day, Tarsus was an old city. Tarsus was an old and influential city renowned for its university. Now, Paul's birth name, of course, was a Hebrew name because he was a Hebrew. It was Saul or Shaul. We say it in English as Saul. Now, he came from the Jewish tribe of Benjamin, as did King Saul from the Old Testament, which is probably who he was named after. But contrary to popular belief, God didn't change Saul's name like he changed Abraham's or Abram's name to Abraham. God didn't change Saul's name to Paul. Rather, like many multicultural families today, Paul went by both names. He went by Saul when he was around his people, he's around the Jews, and he went by Paul when he was around the Gentiles. Now, Paul, like his family before him, belonged to the Pharisee movement. Pharisee movement was a movement identified by a strict separatist practice and a strict observance of the Jewish laws. Actually, the word Pharisee means the separated one. Parashim in Hebrew means the separated ones. As a rule, the Pharisees were not kind to the early followers of Jesus. That is an understatement. They saw this new Jesus movement as a threat to the Jewish establishment. And as a result, Saul at the time was so zealous for his Jewish faith that he participated in the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Remember, by the way, stoning refers to the act of killing somebody by dropping large stones on them, not what you used to think it referred to. Now, if you'd have asked Saul for the purpose of his life in those days, he'd likely have told you it was to eliminate the Jesus movement and to ensure the survival of the Jewish religious elite. But Saul was the handiwork of God, and God had better plans for him than destruction of the early believers. What a horrible plan. No, God had something better. And the scripture tells us that one day Saul's life was transformed forever. One day Saul was renewed. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. All right, so Saul understood his mission. Saul understood his purpose was to be a persecutor of anyone who was a follower of the way. What's the way? The way is the first century term for the followers of Jesus. Remember when Jesus said this in John 14, 6? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So they referred to the followers of Jesus as the followers of the way. Now, Saul had a misplaced purpose. He had a misplaced meaning. He was missing the good work that God had planned for him. Paul, Saul, was not living up to his God-given potential. Some of us may have the sense we aren't either. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're not living up to your God-given potential? If these days you're feeling like you're burnt out, if these days you're feeling like you're in need of an infusion of enthusiasm in your life, then perhaps what you're feeling is a misplaced purpose. Some of you can relate to Saul, perhaps, in that your life might be marked by negative aspirations or even bad intentions. And whether you act them out or not, they're in your mind. Now, maybe you've lived thus far in a way that's resulted in harm and in pain to those around you. Others of you may feel that throughout your life, it's been marked by responsibility and hard work, and you've provided for yourself and for your family, but you still can't shake the sense that there's something more that God wants to do for you and through you and with you. And incidentally, I'm not talking about, not necessarily anyway, talking about your job. I'm not saying everybody go quit your job. Don't do that, okay? God put you there for a reason. I'm really talking about the things that you give yourself to with passion, the things that you are passionate about. It may have to do with your job, but it also might have to do with a certain cause that's worth fighting for, or a person you want to invest in, or a mission that could use your gifts and talents to succeed. Remember, God's already planned these things for you to do with your life, and God's already given you the skills and the talent and the resources and the influence that you need to accomplish God's purpose. So let's have a look at how God revealed his purpose in Paul's life. We go to Acts chapter 9, now we're in verse 3. Now as Paul went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, let's stop here for a second. It's helpful to know that it is common in the Hebrew scriptures for God to use a name two times to get the attention of the person whom he is calling for a special role. Paul knew that, which is why Paul replied, who are you, Lord? Now here, it's interesting. Paul used the word Lord, which was the word Kyrie, which has a couple of meanings. It can mean Lord, as translated, but can also mean sir. Now scholars believe that Paul used the word to be intentionally vague, inasmuch as he wasn't yet aware of the exact origin of the voice, but he knew it was really weird to have a disembodied voice call his name twice. He knew it had to be some kind of divine thing. So for that reason, Paul was ready to listen. And so he said, or the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Verse 7, the men who were traveling with Paul stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Verse 8, Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. All right. Question, did Paul feel any unease at all with his role as persecutor of the faithful? The text doesn't really say. But even though it doesn't specifically say, we can certainly see that he was open to new direction in case God was wanting to use him for something else, for something great. But it took an intervention by God to help Paul discover a better reason for living and a renewed purpose for his life. Literally, while he was on his way to continue the persecution, that drops us off in our next point. There was a divine disruption. Jesus, whose followers Paul was actively persecuting, Jesus personally intervened and called Paul out. Actually, Jesus personally intervened and knocked Paul down and temporarily blinded him. I guess Jesus wanted to make sure Paul didn't miss the point. So if Jesus is trying to talk to you, listen. Listen for the whisper first. God stepped in to renew Paul's life by changing Paul's plans and reorienting him around a new mission. Jesus disrupted Paul's previous life. It often takes disruption to get our attention and reorient our lives too. For Paul, it was a bright light and a voice from heaven and blinded eyes. For us, it can happen all kinds of ways. If you want to know what your current purpose in life is, just look where your energy is spent, where your time is spent, where your affection is going, where your resources are going. That's your purpose. Many people invest all of their lives in purposes that don't matter in the end. But if we'll pay attention, God will provide the disruption that can help us find renewal. Here's an example. Some people spend their time partying until the partying starts to affect their work and their school and their family. But then disruption changes their course. Some people spend their time chasing this one, good old money. Some people just spend their time chasing money. They work constantly to get that money until they realize they've neglected their family. And then, oh, look at that. Disruption comes in. For some, you know what it is? Do people like me? Do people want to talk about me? Some people spend their days trying to become popular. Then one day they realize that they've worked so hard for people that don't really care about them. Those who love you don't care, and those who care don't love you, something like that. And then disruption happens again. That was fun, but I'm going to stop there. See, Jesus's disruption, his intervention, changed Paul's life. Jesus disrupted Paul's old purpose. Jesus had other plans for Paul. And Jesus cares about us enough to intervene in our lives and disrupt us too. God will use anything to help us discover our God-given purpose in life. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call your name." But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So what happened? God used this man, Ananias, to restore Paul's sight. Now, this restoration was much more than physical. It was spiritual also. In that verse 15 we just read, Luke, who's the writer of the book of Acts, referred to Paul as God's chosen instrument in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. Now imagine how it would feel to know that you were the chosen instrument of God for doing something good in this world. God had a plan for Saul, but that plan wouldn't have happened if Saul was still focused on his original objective, persecuting and killing Christians. So God disrupted him, and God refocused him, and God does that for us too. Now, how does he do it? Well, sometimes God uses people to get us on track. And sometimes he uses circumstances, and sometimes he uses hardship, and sometimes he uses worldwide pandemics, and sometimes he uses opportunity, and sometimes he uses his word. But the point is that for us, we have to keep our eyes open. We have to keep our ears open to that purpose that God has made us for. Now, through his word, through the Bible, that's why we read the Bible, that's why we study the Bible, God helps us to determine when he's speaking to us. Which brings us to the last point, the path to purpose. Now first, a renewed purpose from God will always align with what God has already said in the Bible. So if you think you're getting a weird purpose from God, I want you to go eat 100 lizards and do something or whatever. If it's not, if God didn't authorize it, don't think that that's God speaking to you. That's silly, okay? God will not contradict his own word. God gives us instruction. Now, in diagnosing disruption, we need to ask, well, does the thing you think God's leading you to sound like something God would want? Well, you only know that if you know what God would want. You only know that if you've read your scripture. Now, second, renewed purpose for our lives is almost always something that we cannot do on our own. God's plan for us requires his involvement. You need God to be with you. His empowerment. You need God to give you those gifts and talents in order to be successful. The Holy Spirit in our lives will guide us as we move into these new endeavors. Third, renewed purpose is often confirmed through obedience. Rarely does God give us the entire picture at once. So living out God's purpose for our lives requires faith, and it requires us to step out a little bit, step away from our comfort zone in order to find out what God wants from our lives. After Saul was visited by Ananias, he received his sight, and his entire life's purpose changed. He went from trying to destroy the Christian movement to being a main agent in the spread of the Christian movement. Now, you may feel like, oh, I'm too far gone for God to ever use me. He can't possibly use me. You may feel like, yeah, but who am I? I don't know this stuff. I don't have much to contribute. But Paul's life would suggest that God has never done with us. He never gives up on us, and he'll use anyone for his kingdom purposes. Now, if nothing else, this past year has given us all a nice pause in the hectic pace of modern life. And if we've been feeling a sense of dissatisfaction and unease as we've navigated our way through it all, we ought to consider the possibility that maybe, just maybe, it's God's way of opening our eyes to the purpose that he has for our lives. See, if we can come to understand that, if we can come to realize that, God will use us in a mighty way as he continues to draw people to himself. So here's what I'd like to do. Let's all pledge to faithfully seek God's purpose for our lives as we continue to draw closer and closer to him. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for calling us. We thank you for drawing us. We thank you for saving us. And God, We thank you for giving us this purpose. God, if it's fuzzy, we ask for you to make it clear. If it's quiet, we ask for you to scream it loudly. But God, we want to serve you. We want to fulfill the purpose you have for our lives. So God, use us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.